This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is an NFL analyst and a two-time Super Bowl champion. Our friend Max Starks joining us this morning on the show. Max, good morning.
I'm doing good, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, I got to ask, as a former offensive lineman such as yourself, we eat turkey and Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, leftovers on Friday, maybe even some thirds on Saturday. Then we have Sunday. Are you still eating Thanksgiving leftovers on Monday?
You know, it's funny, because I had a college game on Saturday in Colorado, I didn't get Friday and Saturday, so I made up for it on Sunday.
Okay.
But they're all gone today.
Okay.
We're still good.
All right, very good. Let's talk about your former team, the Steelers and the Browns. What did you think of Freddie Kitchens wearing a T-shirt that says, Pittsburgh started it?
You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous, because as a head coach, you have to be elevated above the on-the-field situation. And let's be technically honest here, they started it. Myles Garrett doing the extra things, going, trying to take Mason Rudolph to the ground, 8 seconds left in the game when obviously, clearly, Mason Rudolph had given his body up because he had thrown the ball. So, you know, that's a natural thing. Quarterbacks will just go limp. Why am I fighting if I still have the ball in my hands? And for him to go that extra step, they technically started it. And unfortunately, they tried to finish it, but, well, we see what happened. Pittsburgh ended up finishing it at home. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to be above that. And it just constantly, as a former Steeler, it just consistently shows the class of the Cleveland Browns.
Do you think that the Browns themselves understand that they've been their own worst enemy, or do you think their heads are in the clouds?
Well, let's see. They haven't been to the playoffs since when? 2003?
Yes.
Yeah. They don't believe that. I mean, they have to realize that they're their own worst enemy. I think they keep thinking it's like bad luck, like they don't have the lucky rabbit's foot or they're missing a good horseshoe or something. But, you know, they have to realize they've been holding a grenade the entire time and pulled the pin. And every year it seems like they have to blow it up and start over again. And the fact that, you know, you do have new ownership, this team has been transitioned. They played like an expansion team. There's expansion teams who haven't played like expansion teams over the same amount of time. And it's just one of those things where you just, I don't know what the answer is, because you went and you bought the offseason. Everybody talked about you. You got the buzz. You know, you do Hard Knocks a year before to bring some attention to your team, and you're still falling flat on your face. So, it's just something where they're just consistently, they're the bad news bears.
Max Starks joins us here on the show. When you spent 9 years with the Steelers, how did you guys view the Browns organization?
As a team that, depending on when you got them, you didn't know if they were coming out, if they were going to give up the ghost to you, or if they were going to play hard. You know, they always had a great roster, and they always had talent, except for at the quarterback position. And you just didn't know what to expect. I think I only lost to them twice in my entire career. So it was something that, you know, you'd have guys at different points of their career just saying, hey, man, I'm just trying to make it to the offseason healthy. you know, you play them at certain points in the year. That's what's come to be assumed of them, and now they're supposedly competitive. But even when you look at them, they have technically the best-looking roster, but then you have character issues or you have lack of performance. There's so many different things that just never go their way. They never find the cohesive group together, coaching staff and personnel. And even though I like John Dorsey as a GM and what he's done, it's still coming to be challenges where you have to get everybody together. You can't just have segmented pieces because it's truly a holistic approach. When you look at the teams who are successful perennially, what's the consistency? Management, coaching, and personnel all flow cohesively. Even with looking at the Steelers, the consistency between Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin, his coaching staff, and the players that are there, there's still a cohesion there, and that's why they're always in the conversation. You never expect the Steelers not to be in the playoff hunt conversation year in and year out. Look at New England. Bill Belichick is the GM, so technically the GM and the coach are always in the right alignment. And then he always finds the perfect personnel. Even when you think the roster looks bad, they're still one of the best in the AFC year in and year out. And so that's where the issues come. There's never been that full cohesion when you look at the Cleveland Browns.
Max Starks is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. From a Steelers standpoint, I try not to be a prisoner of the moment, and Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl and gone to another, and they've had some really good season under him. But is this actually one of his best coaching jobs ever?
I think so. You're on your fourth-string quarterback. Everybody says third string, but you have to remember, they traded Josh Dobbs, who was their original third string.
True.
And so you're down to your fourth-string quarterback, and you're still winning against teams who are preseason favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win divisions and everything else, and you pull out this massive thing, and you're missing Juju Smith-Schuster, arguably your best receiver, and James Conner, your starting running back, and you've had all of these changes along the way. You've lost Stephon Tuitt on defense, who is arguably one or two. You know, Cam Hayward and him, between him and Cam Hayward, were one and two as far as your best D lineman. You got a rookie middle linebacker, and quote unquote, you have an inexperienced secondary. And to be in this position is fantastic. And kudos to Coach Tomlin and Kevin Colbert for coming together and still making this a very competitive team that's fun to watch week in and week out.
Did the Texans beating the Patriots last night tell you more about the Texans or the reality of the Patriots?
Reality of the Patriots. You know, Tom Brady kind of hinted to it after the Baltimore game about their offense, and then he kind of elaborated it on the following week and against the Cowboys. And so now it's one of the things where you're like, okay, this team is not in the same type of mantra that we're used to, because you have to remember, the Patriots own December football, and this is a game in December, and they're already have a loss in December. And granted, they're still, you know, they're still probably the number two seed because Baltimore moves up to the number one because of the head-to-head and the same record. But it is one of those things that's frightening. They got out to a great lead, but there's been so much inconsistency offensively, and you don't see that championship kind of charge that the New England Patriots usually give you in December, where the defense is just, you know, phenomenal. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. You know, you can throw a 2 yard out and all of a sudden it becomes a 35 yard gain. That's not happening with this team. And I don't know if it's the reality of Tom or it's the reality of finally their roster catching up to them and the lack of stars and playmakers that you have on it. But that was an indictment on them. And also, it was a great look on the other side for the Houston Texans to see Deshaun Watson play the way that he did. They looked phenomenal. They looked in control the entire contest.
Max Starks is our guest here on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion. I like what you said there about what are the reasons for this Patriots offense to be kind of so out of whack right now. And I know that people point to lack of targets and big play weapons and offensive line, but some of this has to be Brady, right? I mean, he just doesn't seem as sharp or as tight or have as much zip on the throws as he has in the past. How much of this do you think is on number 12?
Well, it automatically starts on number 12 because of the fact that you know, he's the leader of this team. He's been the guy that has consistently been the leader. He's been the individual who, you know, has led this team. He's made the right throws to the mediocre guys, and he hasn't had those guys anymore, and he hasn't had the crisp targets that you would expect of him. And that's why, you know, this falls on him along with Belichick in the play call selection, because he's the GM, and the GM's responsible for personnel, right? And if you don't have the right personnel there to accomplish the goals that you're trying to accomplish, then that's now the GM has to go find those guys. And years past, you found that hard luck guy, right? You found the Josh Gordon guy. You found the Randy Moss, the guys who needed redemption. You tried to go get the Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown project didn't work this year. Josh Gordon, injury concerns and whatever else that we don't know about that hasn't been disclosed, you let him go. And now you're looking around. Julian Edelman is off injured. So Philip Dorsett was supposed to be another guy that was supposed to come in and help you when you brought him in from the Colts. And they haven't really come to fruition. Sony Michel's a good back, but Sony Michel has to be in the right offensive scheme. He's a true running back. James White, as you saw last night, is your best receiving option. You don't have the dual threat kind of guy that can get it done. And the offensive line is not as good. And usually in the past, Brady's made up for the lack of offensive line talent and made guys better. But you lose a Trent Brown in free agency. He goes to Oakland. So you have all of these different things working against you. And finally, we're starting to see that the Patriots are a human organization. They're not robots. And that's just the reality of it.
Finally, the big one yesterday, Ravens and Niners. Won by the Ravens in the last seconds with the field goal by Justin Tucker. When you looked at this game, did it show that the Ravens can win even in spite of maybe a less than brilliant effort from Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, because I thought even in less than ideal circumstances, and Lamar Jackson still performed at a very high level. You know, it's raining, it's sloshy, it's kind of chilly, and it's not the best conditions, and you think this is, okay, let's put a check for defensive line being after get after a quarterback who doesn't have footing. Well, that didn't happen. Let's see, throwing the ball in the air, you might not be as successful. Well, guys found the end zone through the air. And then, of course, having the most accurate kicker in NFL history and possibly one of the most valuable fantasy kickers in the last 5 years, Justin Tucker, puts it through the uprights for the victory. A complete team victory to know that Lamar Jackson is not having to carry his team, but his team walks lockstep with Lamar Jackson because the defense played very well as well. Sorry about that. Stymieing San Francisco. And you thought, okay, well, San Francisco, now they have another running back that they have to start. And can they get it done? The offensive line got a good game going on the ground, but that's when it comes down to quarterback prowess, quarterback IQ, and Lamar Jackson got his team out of some sticky situations with his legs, but he led and he did not try and overtake the game. And I think that's just a sign of really immense maturity for a second-year quarterback and not getting down, not trying to force the ball into bad situations and realizing you can live to play another play, and that's why they ultimately came out on top as victors.
Mm. Max Starks joining us this morning on the show. Always excellent stuff with Max. You can follow him on Twitter at MaxStarks78. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion and NFL analyst. So many different places. It's always really enjoyable to catch up, man. Thanks so much for doing it, Max. I appreciate it. And I'm glad to hear all the leftovers are gonzo.
Yes, exactly. Always a pleasure, DA.
Thank you, bud. Max Starks joining us this morning here on the show. Really good stuff there. Lot more to do in this final hour of the show. I've got thoughts on the Iron Bowl. I've got thoughts on the big game that's no longer a big game between Michigan and Ohio State. Now it's just called the game, as it has been historically, and the game is usually the blowout in favor of Ohio State. Plus, we got to talk about Bill O'Brien seizing all power inside that Texans organization and coming away with a victory last night. It's all straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Of what we're doing.
Sorry about that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's flu season. 22 minutes past the hour. Here on the DA Show. So glad you're with us. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The 12 DAs are being unveiled this week. Number 12 comes up Friday. We're doing the first four out over the course of the first 4 days this week. Vote on your favorites on my Twitter page, DA on CBS. Mraz has also tweeted them out as well. We'll also post those options on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheDA Show so that you can weigh in and give us your vote, because we are this year integrating the fan vote into the 12 DAs of Christmas rankings. Quick food nugget here, Mraz. I asked Max Starks whether he's still eating leftovers. I still am. Now, I had two Thanksgiving meals. I had one from my mom and my family side, then my wife and I went to her house. So the next day we did the in-laws Thanksgiving as well, and I have all of those left over. So I've eaten a Thanksgiving meal, heated up the last 3 days, but on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, and I still have leftovers in my fridge, which I will likely have for lunch today. I will say now, day five, I'm starting to fatigue on the turkey.
Yeah, you'll be dying for a couple tacos and a slice of pizza in no time, or just a salad. How about that?
I could really use a salad.
You get
right
real
now.
Puffed up on that Thanksgiving food.
I could
food.
Really use a salad, that's for sure.
Puffiness with sodium.
Where are you leftover-wise?
So I did not take any leftovers home after Thursday, so I had my meal Thursday. But yesterday, my entire family came over because I did Danielle's side of Thanksgiving Thursday, so we did kind of, hey, we're all watching football anyway, let's do our Thanksgiving at my house yesterday. The problem was everybody else, I think, had Thanksgiving fatigue from wherever they went for Thanksgiving had leftovers. So they had me cook, I think I combined 30 pounds of turkey, and I am left with all of it in my fridge. So now I have that, stuffing, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. I am going to be eating Thanksgiving leftovers probably for this entire week. I just had a salami mozzarella like antipasto sandwich for breakfast / lunch. I got heartburn like crazy. It's going to be a rough week.
What was your diet heaviest on? What did you eat the most of over the last 4 days?
So most over the last 4 days. Well, remember, two of those days weren't Thanksgiving related. Honestly, the sweets. That's the one thing.
Oh, that got you.
Yeah.
That nipped you.
Because if I did bring anything home, it would have been pudding pies. I'm big on the vanilla, the chocolate, the Oreo pudding pies. So I probably had, I had two slices last night. I had two slices Thanksgiving night. Another slice, well, I guess a third slice Thanksgiving night, because I had another one right before my show on Thanksgiving. And then I had a slice each the next two, plus various Italian cookies and stuff. So I've been pounding sugar like nonstop here.
I had a lot of turkey Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving night, watching that Falcons and Saints game, I ate a leg and a wing on the couch while watching that thing.
Oh,
so that's a
shirtless?
That's a second full one. I'm watching the Falcons get all these onside kick, greasy hands. Oh, they got another onside kick. So then I had a lot of turkey Friday. And then I had a lot of turkey Saturday. These big lunch meals, like late in the afternoon, like 3 or 4 o'clock, watching football. And then I had another one yesterday. I've had a lot of turkey, a lot, and a lot of stuffing. And the stuffing's killing me right now.
It's
all bread.
Yeah, I realized yesterday when I made stuffing, and I'm not trying to act like I'm Chef Boyardee. I'm a big stovetop guy. The people at Stovetop have figured this out. They understand what makes a good stuffing. You're literally just melting sticks of butter and mixing it with breadcrumb in boiled water.
Hard to mess up.
It's hard to mess up. There's no nutritional value whatsoever, but it's so delicious.
Bilotti, what have you overdosed on food-wise?
I will, the same thing you have, turkey and stuffing. We had a lot of different types of stuffing at my in-laws this past Thanksgiving, and we had a brunch in the morning with my parents, so it was a whole slew of things going on. And another brunch the day after, and a lunch. So there was a lot of things happening.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
I don't know how anybody keeps their calorie count down this time of year. It is just, you just know you're walking into a buzzsaw every single time. It's like, you know, okay, I'm going to go play Ohio State today, and I'm Purdue.
And from this point forward, over the next 4 weeks until you get through Christmas,
can't
and Hanukkah,
catch up.
You can, not only cannot catch up, there is Christmas parties. You're constantly out shopping, so you're eating on the run. Everywhere you turn is another cookie that's dipped in chocolate. It doesn't stop. It is an avalanche over the next 4 weeks. It doesn't. You have a foot on your throat, and it's over.
It's over. It really is. It's over. You just know walking into the horseshoe, you're losing by 42 points, and you cannot stop it. Every day feels like Rutgers. Every day you have no hope. No hope whatsoever.
I walked 4 miles, and I think I gained weight.
I know. I've had so much food in my stomach for 4 days. I'm just like, oh, I just got to walk around the block. Oh, I got to take a walk here. Every day I'm like, oh, boy, let me just get the blood pumping a little bit.
Roll me on the grass, anything.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
So a couple of news and notes from the weekend football-wise. Number one, last night, the Houston Texans. Very impressive win. They needed that signature victory. They have not been able to solve the riddle of the New England Patriots. Bill O'Brien has looked like a chump in front of the Pats and his old boss many times over. And they had to have it. They were at home. The Patriots' offense is limited at best. And earlier in the day, we have the report that Bill O'Brien is seizing all power. Now, this is an incredible power play. An incredible power play that nobody's talking about. Bill O'Brien has outlasted 2 GMs and now has convinced ownership not to hire a third. Now, how many coaches in the NFL get full coaching and personnel responsibilities? Almost none of them. You've got Belichick and we found that this is too overwhelming. We found it does not work. We found that all power consolidated with the coaching and the personnel does not work. It's too much. And yet Bill O'Brien, despite being unbelievably underwhelming in his years in Houston, has convinced that organization to give him all power and not even hire a GM next year. That's incredible. So Bill O'Brien's been unbelievably power hungry since he got there. He's gotten more and more influence and now has won it all. He won the game board. He gets everything. He gets to pick the players, coach the players, pick the free agents, decide the salary, decide the roster. Okay. Well, you got all the power. Now you got to win. Now you have to win. And last night would have been a really bad night not to win. But they did. Deshaun Watson was fantastic. A couple of big plays. They created big plays down the field, but also the methodical nature of a couple of their touchdown drives, namely the second one before the half, was a thing of beauty. And the Texans' defense made Tom Brady look scared, made him lack confidence, made him lack the ability to quick strike. And Brady's numbers at the end of that game, you know, are not indicative of how that game went. That was a 28-9 lead in the fourth quarter by the Texans. And then they just decided, you know what? We'll play prevent for the final 13 minutes of this game. It was an important win for the Texans. It was an alarming loss for the Patriots. And I know you don't want to hear me bag on the Patriots anymore. Well, maybe you do. But this is just the truth. These are hard facts. Hard, cold facts. And some people can't handle the truth. They don't want the truth. Some people would rather in 2019 live in their bubble, live in their silo. I don't want to hear it. But here's the unfortunate truth. The Patriots haven't beaten anybody this year. They've got 10 wins. Only two have come against teams with winning records. Two. One of them being the Steelers in week number one on opening night. One of them being against the Bills minus Josh Allen, who got concussed in that game. That's their two wins against teams with winning records. They've got 10 wins. The combined win percentage of all of the teams that they've beaten is 404, 20 games under 500. 42 and 62 are the combined record of the team they've beaten. And half of their wins have come against the four worst teams in football, arguably. Well, four of the five worst, because you have to throw the Bengals in there. Two against the Jets, one against the Dolphins, one against the Giants, one against Washington. That's half their wins. Last night, if you think, and I love Collinsworth, but I thought that this was delusional.
or overly protective of Tom Brady's legacy. If you think this is just about the Patriots not having enough targets for Brady, you're lost. Brady's not the same. When he does have time, he's sailing passes. When he does have time, he's throwing it into the ground. When he does have time, he's indecisive. When he does have time, Brady's not making the plays he used to make with his eyes closed. And that's why he's frustrated, and that's why he's despondent. He knows he physically can't do it. And of course, I mean, at some point, 42 years old is going to be 42 years old. And by the way, this is actually not a joke. It's going to sound like it. Brady's going through an identity crisis. He dyed his hair. Did anybody else see this last night? Tom Brady has always had sandy blonde hair. Always. Like a dirty sandy blonde. He's had dirty sandy blonde from the moment he came out of Michigan to the moment we have until last night when he had jet black hair.
Yeah, I noticed the difference in his hair. I was thinking more like what kind of trendy like haircut or like product does he have that's making his hair look dense.
No.
But it was dark last night.
He's dyeing his hair dark to look younger. This is a Coach K thing. He's doing hair for men. He's putting in the dye because he feels old and he knows he looks old on the football field. By the way, I always joke about this, but it's not really a joke. He looks physically, no creases in his face, no wrinkles.
He looks wonderful.
No crow's feet. When he's 42, okay, he should have some wrinkles and sagging. He gets Botox. He definitely has had facial work done, okay? He probably gets collagen and Botox and injections. So if he's doing that, because there's no way TB12 method by eating a little bit of kale means no wrinkles. If he is that consumed with how he physically looks, he's going to dye his hair. And now he looks old on the football field. He is going through an identity crisis, and it's sad.
Sign me up for being a hypocrite and only eating avocado toast to be healthy, but his head is just full of manufactured things. There's just Botox and gel and fillers and then color, hair color, all this unnatural stuff, but please only give me these three things to eat so I can be healthy.
Honestly, I can't wait, okay? I can't wait until Tom Brady in 10 years looks like Mama Jenner, and his face is just like pulled tight with face tucks. Because he's so consumed about looking youthful. This is his whole thing, that he never ages. His whole thing is, I'm going to play till I'm 45. You know, I live this incredibly healthy diet. I don't eat white sugars. I have all of this, you know, control over my diet, my pliability, my flexibility. His whole identity is staying young. And he looks old.
What if when
football-wise?
When he's done, when he's finally done, he just lets go. What if in like 6 months he looks like Sean? He's got a gut hanging out from under this trendy button down.
He looks like Terry Bradshaw. I would respect that.
It'd be amazing.
I would respect it. At least he would be real. He's at least authentic. I mean, Mraz, stop me. Is he dyeing his hair?
Yes, he is. And he's leaving his eyebrows to look gray as if the gray has only just begun on the bottom, which makes it worse. He's not even going full dye.
Which, by the way, is okay to be going gray in your temples. You're 42 years old, and he's been getting hit by 350-pound linemen for 20 years. It's okay. Why is he dyeing his hair now? It's so Coach K.
Because it's paranoia with everything. He feels old, his gameplay looks old, and this is a way just... People are going to think I'm looking old because I know I look old, so now I got to look young. The whole thing's an act. The whole thing's a charade. Giselle's probably telling him he looks old, playing with his hair, telling him he's Mr. Salt and Pepper. It's a whole thing.
George Clooney has aged so well, and he's allowed himself to go salt and pepper. You know what? Brady should do that. What's the problem?
Oh, forget about it. If I had hair, of course I'd go salt and pepper. And by the way, there's a lot of women out there find salt and pepper very attractive.
Absolutely. And Brady's a handsome man. He doesn't need injections and Botox and collagen and fillers and hair dye. Hey, guys, he's paranoid.
He'll be selling Skechers at Radio Row before you know it.
Welcome to the pork store. You're six-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady. What do you have for us today, Tom?
And Tom, tell us how that Skechers deal is going.
What's your favorite Blimpy sandwich?
And tell us when we could get the flu shot.
How many flavors of buffalo wings?
Tom was on our station already.
That's right. He's on three different shows.
When we come back here on the show, thoughts on Michigan, Ohio State, the Iron Bowl, and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Speaking of the devil, we was just talking about the DA show. I mean, he looks like somebody that's going to steal your tax money. He looks like a white-collar criminal. You can never trust a dude with good hair like that with two buttons down.
Two buttons down is the telltale sign?
Yeah, one, two, yeah, you can almost see a sternum.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The 12 DAs of Christmas are here. They start on Friday. You can watch them all either by going to watchda.com and checking out our show live every single day, because the Wizard of Watch DA Cap is playing them during commercial breaks. And also they'll be on YouTube. So go to our YouTube page for CBS Sports Radio and watch the best of the DA show as we count down the 12 DA starting on Friday. And vote, won't you? Either on Facebook.com/TheDAShow. We'll post those after the show. Also, I've posted the 12 candidates. We're looking for write-in votes as well. Available on Twitter right now. Marty Moose Knuckle tweets, well, Freddie Kitchens showed us the level of immaturity that's tolerated in Cleveland. Pittsburgh started it. That's like something you say to your parents after you punch your little brother in the head. And Baker still sucks. Get him out. Tomorrow is a Trash Tuesday, so we will be trashing anything and everything. So let us know what you're trashing tomorrow and bring it. I think Freddie Kitchens is a good target. That T-shirt was dopey. For a head coach to wear before that game is even dopier, and a terrible, terrible, terrible look for an organization that is the most penalized in the NFL. Let's get to your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. This is Tim in Michigan, who asks, DA, what was the most concerning thing you saw about the Ohio State-Michigan beatdown yet again? The most concerning thing I saw was that Jim Harbaugh has been there 5 years and has obviously gone 0-5. Ryan Day's been there 1 year. And Jim Harbaugh, over 5 years, hasn't gotten closer to Ohio State. The gap between them has gotten wider. And that, to me, is a really problematic reality. Ohio State's rival is no longer Michigan. Sure, geographically and historically, those two are, quote, rivals. But Ohio State doesn't measure itself against beating Michigan. Ohio State measures itself against beating Alabama or Clemson or Georgia, or teams in the college football playoff. Ohio State's measuring stick is not Michigan. And that's the most alarming. Harbaugh took over 5 years ago, and they're good for 9 or 10 wins every year, and that's a really good season for most programs. But that's not a really good season in Columbus. That's a failure in Columbus. And in Ann Arbor, they don't know what it's like to play in the playoff. They don't know what it's like to win Big Ten championships. They don't know what it's like to help beat Ohio State. They don't know what it's like to play in the playoffs and be undefeated or a one-loss team. And that's just not their reality. And that, to me, is the most stark thing that comes out of that game Saturday, was that back-to-back years, Ohio State nearly dropped 60 on you. They dropped 56 with a first-year head coach against a coach that supposedly built his program over the last 5 seasons, and they did it in Ann Arbor. The gap between the two was so big 5 years ago when Harbaugh took over, and it's even larger now. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee, cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
So what did the Iron Bowl tell us? The Iron Bowl told us that, at least for this year, Alabama wasn't anywhere near what it has been in previous seasons. Now, is that a harbinger of things to come? It could be. I'm always hesitant to write off Nick Saban because, unlike Tom Brady, where you know he ages out eventually, Nick Saban just gets the next five-star kid. You know? It's not like he has to worry about that. His recruiting is still very, very high. But what you're seeing is that this year, Alabama played its two best teams and lost them both and gave up huge points in both, LSU and then Auburn. And it's very Patriots-esque where you have this parallel going on. The Patriots whooped up on everybody that wasn't very good in their schedule, and the two best teams, they got beat and beat pretty badly. Last night and then the Ravens. And last night's game was not really a one-score game. It was 28-9 in the fourth quarter. Bama beat up on everybody except LSU and Auburn. But when they play those two teams, LSU and Auburn did whatever they wanted to against them. And this was why I'm glad that Alabama was kind of exposed by Auburn. Because I never believed after the LSU game they were one of the four best teams of the country. And then what happened on Saturday reiterated that. One thing that was very worrisome if you're a Bama fan is that all of the things that are usually hallmarks of Bama are not there. Strong defense, don't beat yourself. They made mistakes in both of those losses. 12 men on the field penalty. Again, both of those losses had this. Fumbles, interceptions, crucial back-breaking mistakes. Two pick sixes. A missed field goal, which should have been a chip shot. All of these things, plus they couldn't slow down the Auburn offense or the LSU offense. Those are all hallmarks of Bama. And all of that went to sleep, evaporated those two losses. And there's probably going to be a really good Alabama team again. There's probably going to be an Alabama team in the playoff again, either next year or beyond. But for this season, it really felt as though the dynasty was crumbling. And I don't know if it's going to be the future of Bama, but for this year, that was not the same Alabama program that has dominated the nation for the last decade plus.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Pat Shurmur trying to explain another miserable Giants effort.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Today they weren't fumbles, right? And then the one he just overthrew. And then the last one there, he threw a nine ball to Slayton, you know, and I thought he was in a position to either make the catch. So, no, I mean, these were throws. These weren't fumbles.
Pat Shurmur is really the worst.
The one interception there.
He really is the worst. And think about this once proud organization going back-to-back hiring Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur.
I don't know that exactly.
Could you have struck out two worst times? I mean, this is very Browns-esque. If you're hiring back-to-back Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur.
Unfortunately, we're dealing with some mistakes that you hope you never see again.
First of all, where is McAdoo? It's almost like he was shunned from the league after those 2 years with the Giants.
I don't know where he is.
Where could he be? And number two, they hired a Browns head coach castoff.
I'm always concerned when we don't win, right?
What are those two decisions?
Should be like you hiring me into Shep to produce the shows in back-to-back era.
I feel so bad.
I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
Today they weren't fumbles, right?
That's such an all-time drop. Hey, they weren't fumbles. That we might have had three turnovers and lost the game by 30 points, but they weren't fumbles.
Today they weren't fumbles, right?
Were they? You answer me that. Okay, smarty pants?
And this is another feeling question.
You think that Daniel Jones turned the football over too much. Well, did you see? Those were through the air. Those weren't even on the ground. I don't know if you noticed that, smarty pants. Smarty McGee over there. Did you notice that, huh?
Today they weren't fumbles, right?
Right? Right? Answer me! Come on, answer me!
That's so terrible.
What a clown show.
If you're wondering how I feel, I feel a lot better when we win games.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Jeff tweets in the last known sighting of Ben McAdoo was interviewing in January for Cliff Kingsbury's staff. Did not get the job. So Ben McAdoo has been in hiding for 10 months now. That's what happens when you coach the Giants that poorly. So
I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
Once Pat Shurmur gets fired at the end of next season after another 2-14, then we should not expect him anywhere in public for until like 2025 or something like that. Tomorrow, we'll have Jamie Erdahl join us here on the show in advance of the SEC championship game from the SEC on CBS. That should be fun. And a Trash Tuesday, and the next in the first four out of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Make sure you vote, rock the vote, so that we get your take on the 12 DAs and can factor that into the final 12. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show and host of The Pork Store overnights, Saturdays here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to one Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA on the simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm DA. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.